far be it for me to endorse or give an approbation to the Sfas Emes, the great Ger Rebbe, lived in this Polish town of Gur in the 19th century. But this Sfas Emes that we're going to learn today is gorgeous. It's amazing. It is mamish unbelievable. Now, he doesn't need my haskama. You'll see for yourself how amazing it is. So to appreciate the Sfas Emes, we're going to share a series of questions. How many questions should we share? Probably four, right? Four questions, always a good way. And our goal is to appreciate a beautiful Sfas Emes that we can take with us and really integrate in our daily lives, in our Avodas Hashem. So to do that, we're going to begin with a very interesting and maybe bizarre Gemara in Maseches Megillah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, Esther, Yerak Rokes Haisa. What does it mean that Esther was Yerak Rokes? Comes from the word Yarok.
Green.
She was green. It ain't easy being green. What does it mean that Esther was Yerak Rokes? So the context of this Gemara is, the Gemara is describing historical figures, women who were very beautiful. And the Gemara says, Esther was exceedingly beautiful. Then the Gemara says, well,
not so beautiful.
Not so much, as the Reverend says. Maybe not so much. What do you mean, not so much? Well, according to this opinion, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, he says that Esther was Yerak Rokes. She had a greenish complexion.
Attractive.
So we're going to get to this. Very good. What's that?
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz, yes.
Which was also.
Okay, great. So usually you don't say that about somebody,
right.
You know, let's put it this way. If I came home one day and my wife walked in the door from work and I said, oh, you look greenish today. It wouldn't go over very well, right?
She'll show you where the door
exactly.
Is.
Exactly. So that's one.
For immigrants.
Oh, greener, green, yes.
Greeny.
Yes.
They call them greenier. The greener.
So the interesting thing about this statement in the Gemara, which some of you are familiar with, is that you contrast it with the one way that the Megillah describes Esther. Because the Megillah does not speak about the look of Esther. It doesn't tell you much about her in terms of her physiology or her appearance. It talks about her lineage, right? It talks about who her cousin was, what happened to her parents. However, it does say one thing. When Esther arrives at the palace, source number two, says the Pasuk, when Esther, whose father was Avichail, who was the uncle of Mordechai, who took her in, didn't ask for anything, Vatihi Esther noses chein be'enei kol roeha. Esther had chein. Chein.
Charm.
Okay, so that's what we want to figure out. What does it mean when you say chein? So Mrs. Ginsburg says that the word chein means charm. We're going to develop this further. So what's interesting to me is, how could it be that she had a greenish complexion and that has something to do with the fact that she had chein? So let's hold that for a moment. Let's think about that. One back burner. Totally different topic.
Intuition.
Okay, it might have to do with intuition. Good, we're going to come back to that. Issue number two, totally different topic. Moshe Rabbeinu, you can imagine, in a certain sense, he's tired, he's weary, he's old, he's 120. On the other hand, the Torah says he's full of vigor, he has vitality, he's standing at the precipice of what? Where is he at the edge of when he stands at Arvos Moav at the age of 120? What is he looking at? That's right, the land of Israel. So he's looking out at the land of Israel, and all he wants to do is
enter.
That's
there.
It. That's it. That's all he wants. So what does he do after he had been told at the end of Sefer Bamidbar that he is not allowed to go into the land of Israel? He comes to the Ribono Shel Olam and he
davens.
That's right. He begs. He davens. He pleads. He asks. So here's the thing. There is a beautiful sefer on tefillah written by Rav Shimshon Pinkus, who was a very prominent mashpia, an influential rabbi in Israel. And I think he died about maybe 25 years ago, 20 years ago, in a terrible car accident. He lived in the south of Israel. And he points out, you know, there are 10 different words, verbs, that can be used to express what we call davening. So one of them would be
Tefila,
lehispalel. One would be like lahaatir. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do when he davens? Says the pasuk in source number 3. Vo'es chanan el Hashem, vo'es hahi lemor. Vo'es chanan. I'm getting that look, like, it's a little quizzical, right? It is a little peculiar. Why should Moshe Rabbeinu daven using the term vo'es chanan? What does the word vo'es chanan mean?
We just had a parsha.
This is the beginning of that parsha. That's why it's called that. Exactly. So we need to understand that, well...
Beseech.
Okay, good. Beseech. Well, the word starts with vav, so the vav means and. Aleph is first person, I. Tuf means reflexive, so I did something for myself. And so it gets to the word chonein. Right, I appealed for myself. Vo'es chanan. But notice that this word chanan... because the vav, the aleph, and the tuf are not part of the shoresh. This word, ches, nun, chanan, sounds an awful lot like the word we just mentioned, chen. Okay. So what does grace, the way that you suggested the translation, have to do with Moshe Rabbeinu asking? Number two. So far, so good. Or not good. Oh, it's good. Number three.
I didn't hear the last statement. I'm sorry. What was the...
I just wanted to figure out if we're still on the same page with the two questions. We're still good with that, right? Great. So now let's go to number three. Over the period of Elul that we are in right now, this morning, many of our cousins, Achenu Bnei Sfarad, got up early to recite Slichos. Did you say today? You did? So Rav Danan is the newest member of our kolel from Eretz Yisrael. Their family comes from Rehovot. And Rav Danan, while his mother's family are refuseniks from Siberia, being Asirei Tzion, being imprisoned for wanting to come to Israel from Russia, his father's family is Sephardic. They come from Morocco. So he has a tradition, that as it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that Sephardic Jews, they get up, Lakum ba'ashmores, beginning on Rosh Chodesh, Elul. Ashkenazim, Baruch Hashem, we can sleep a little bit more. I'll be mochel on the rice as long as I can sleep for a month in Elul. We start saying 4 days at least before Rosh Hashanah, we start saying Slichos. What is the core of Slichos? What's the main, most important part of Slichos? That's right. The 13
principles.
That's right. The 13 principles of mercy. And that's why it's essential to have a minyan, to have a quorum for Slichos. If you are alone and you're reciting Slichos, you can say the kind of the paragraph sections, but you, that's right. You can't say the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim, these 13 principles of mercy, you cannot say them on your own.
In a minyan.
You need a minyan. That is the core. It's equivalent, and that today is not the time to talk about this. But the Yugam Amidos HaRachamim, these are the equivalent of Tfila Betzibur, communal prayer. It's like Leining, Baruchu, Kaddish, Kedusha, Shemon Esrei Betzibur. This is the center of it. And we're going to keep coming back to it through the period of the Yomim Noraim. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there's a special power. So let's look at them for a second. Vayavra Hashem al panav vayikra. When is this being told? Who teaches us the 13 attributes of mercy and in what context?
It was Hashem.
In which context exactly? What did we do wrong that we need to repair?
It wasn't the spies.
Not the spies, right? Exactly. It was not the spies, it was the
eagle.
The golden calf, exactly. So golden calf, big break in our relationship with God. Yud Gimel meet us, we're going to put it back together. Hashem, Hashem, the two names of God, so obviously that's meant to have two different aspects, kind of relationship components with God, not for today. Kael, all-powerful. Rachum, compassionate. V'chanun. What does that mean? We say it innumerable times. What does it mean when you say that something is or someone is rachum and then chanun? So if you look here in the Ibn Ezra, where the first time this appears, the pasuk says, v'noach matza chein, that's right. All you need is the reference, he's got it, balpeh. V'noach matza chein. What does the word chein mean? Says the Ibn Ezra there in his classic commentary on the Torah, mi gizras rachamim.
Not only v'noach matza chein bein Hashem, but it also says that es ha'elokim is halach noach.
Yes, so we're going to focus on the chein part.
The S is?
No.
Amalav tutor.
Very nice. Very nice. Reverend is saying that from his entire existence, from Aleph to Tav, Es Elokim, beautiful drash. So here's my chain question.
Isn't that what was it?
Oh, very good. So there is an element that Mrs. Tax is pointing out that is additional, and that's what we want to explore in a second. So chain cannot just be the same as Rachman, because otherwise it would be redundant. It means there's something additional, and that's what you're alluding to. So I want to ask one more question. And it's probably a simple question. Maybe some of us have even thought about this, but maybe not in this way. One of the beautiful things of having lived here, Baruch Hashem, for 10 years, is to see how much we, and I speak kind of generally, how much we love Chicago. 10 years ago, the first year in the shir, I've reflected on this many times. I once gave a shir. I don't want to say if it was in this office when this happened. I once made a joke how when we moved to Chicago, we could still get the Wall Street Journal. And someone raised their hand and said, "Rabbi, that is not funny. It's not funny." Because we're proud of Chicago. We love Chicago, especially the old-timers. We say, we're from the southwest side. You know, this is like... No, well, the south or the west. So I just combine them to make it the southeast.
Yeah, and Chicago. Yeah. We came from Hyde Park. That was east.
But what about the people in Douglas Boulevard? Did I get that right? So that's why I just combine them to make it more efficient. I say the southwest side. It just makes it better.
I forgive you.
Right? Why should I have to say we come from the south side and the west side? Let's just say we say it came from the south. You know what I'm saying? Right? Very efficient. We're so proud of that. We love it. And people, we have this connection. I spent a Shabbos recently in a different community in the summertime. And at the Shabbos meal was a family, the couple. There was an elderly couple there. Both the husband and the wife were from Chicago, and they were, oh, they had such a wonderful time talking about Chicago and how much they love Chicago, even though they don't live there and haven't lived there many years. So my question is, why do we do that? Why do we love Chicago?
I'm from Milwaukee, so I really don't care.
I also love Milwaukee, right? You talk to people, and God forbid, we're not going to denigrate any place. Chas v'shalom. You talk to people from Brooklyn. They love Brooklyn. They love Brooklyn. Now, I'm not going to...
loved Brooklyn.
I'm not going to wade into that. But like, you know, people love their home. And the question is, why do people love their hometown? And it's an amazing thing. You see it in different ways. You see it also when it comes out, like very often in sports. People, they're very attached to their home team. Still like the Brewers?
Brewers. My mother liked the Brewers.
Okay, good. So my question is, what is this all about? So all of these issues, I think, tie into one principle that Mrs. Taxer started to allude to. The question of what does it mean that Esther was green, that she was no Sechein? What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davened, he used the word Vo'es Chanan? Why is it that Chanun is, how is it that it is additional to Rachum? And why is it that people from Chicago love Chicago? It comes back to an incredibly beautiful observation about our relationship with Hashem that is rooted in the word Chain or Chanina. And it is manifest in this one small comment that I found in my Aspaklaria encyclopedia from the Al-Shech HaKadosh in the context of Birchas Kohanim. The Kohanim, we give brachas. In Israel, you give it every day. Shabbos, give it twice. Chutz La'aretz, you give it on Yontif. And in that powerful, packed little bracha of three verses, you have the incredible openness, the open arms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the channeling of that energy through the hands of the Kohanim, and there's a special mystical tradition which you have pictured on your page, these special five channels through which the spiritual energy comes into the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we say, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, God should Yivarechecha, bless you, and Yishmerecha, he should
watch over you.
Good, because if you don't have someone to watch your blessing, it's going to fall out of your lap. Yoyer Hashem, God should shine his face on you. And then it says, Vichuneka. What does it mean, Vichuneka? Says the Heiliger Al-Shech HaKadosh. He says, you know what Vichuneka means? Shelo yenake mizuchuyosecha. What does that mean? That God should not deduct from your merits. Meaning, it's one thing to say to someone, oh, here's a Visa gift card for $100. Go spend it. Happy birthday. It's another thing to find out that that person deducted that $100 from your bank account. Right? That's not such a gift. So the concern is that maybe Hashem will bless us, but he's going to bless us and take it off of our cheshbon. No, don't worry. What does the Rebbe Shalom say? It's on my cheshbon. I'm not going to take it away from your zechuyos, from your merits. You don't have to worry. It's on me. Says the Sforno, the classic Renaissance Italian commentator on the Chumash in source number 6. He says, you know what Chanun means in the Yud Gimel Midos? V'chanun, ose chein v'gomel tov l'sho'alim. He adds, he does chein, and he gives goodness for those who request, afal pi she'enom re'uyim lo, even though they are not worthy. So what is vichuneka? Vichuneka means, it's on me, I'll give it to you just because. Even though you don't deserve it. In modern Hebrew, what does the word chanina mean? Anybody know? Chanina means clemency. Clemency. Right? The president of Israel has the ability to pardon. A pardon is chanina, right? That's how you call it in modern Hebrew?
Yeah.
Okay. It's official.
And what?
Oh! What is a pardon?
Give him another chance.
Does he deserve? Can you deserve?
But you've been guilty then if you're asking for the pardon.
Yes! Even though you're guilty, what do you say to the president, let's say, of the state or the president of the United States or whoever has the authority to grant a pardon in a particular case? What are you saying? You're saying, even though I'm guilty, do me a favor.
Number two. Yeah,
that's it. That's what it would say in Yiddish. Why? Why do you do that? Just because, right? There's some intangible reason, there's some affinity, there's some connection that you have that you say, look, I hear you, okay, fine. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Ribbono Shalom, what does he say to God? He's not mispalel, he is mischanein.
Forgiveness.
Not exactly forgiveness.
He deserves, he wants to come.
Exactly. He's saying, look, I know that I made a mistake, and that I was given a consequence that I can't go into the land of Israel. I know that. And I know that I don't deserve to go into the land of Israel, but I'm asking, can I go anyway? I'm asking for just because. Vo'eschanan el Hashem vo'eschanan el Hashem. I said to Hashem, can you give me chanina? Can you give me chen? When we say to the Rabbonu Shalom, the Yud Gimel Midos, you are kale, rachum, you are compassionate, you have rachmanis on us, and you are also chanun, it means, you know what you do for us? You do a little extra. Just because. Now I can understand this story with Esther. There is this amazing expression in the Gemara about Esther. The Gemara describes that she had on her a chut shel chesed. Chut shel chesed.
A thread?
Thread of what?
Of kindness. Loving kindness.
Kindness. Chesed means I did you a favor. So the Rabbonu Shalom put on Esther a chut shel chesed. And the Gemara describes this. You know, she fasted for 3 days before she went to Achashverosh. Why would Achashverosh be interested in being intimate with a woman who comes looking like she's fasted for 3 days? The Gemara says, don't worry. She had a chut shel chesed. What does it mean she had a chut shel chesed? It means the Rabbonu Shalom did her a favor and made her look more attractive, even though maybe that wasn't natural. It was just because he just did a chesed for her. You know what doing a chesed for somebody looks like? It looks like chen. Vatihi Esther no says chen. So it could be she was Yerach Rakis. She was greenish of complexion. But yet, she had this inexplicable quality that people liked her. That is chen. Right? Chen is not, oh, I understand that. It's coming to you. It makes sense. Yes. If Esther were objectively beautiful, that people would be attracted to her. But if she's not objectively beautiful, why should people be attracted to her? Just because she had that intangible quality of chen. And so, what does the Gemara say on the pasuk? Vatihi Esther no says chen. Look on the next page. Reb Elezer, Malamed Shelakol Echad Ve'echad Nidmasalo Ke'umaso. Esther had a secret. What was Esther's secret?
She was Jewish.
Okay. She was Jewish. And she never told anybody what her nationality was. She had a secret. So what does the Gemara say? Nobody knew. The Gemara has a description. People looked at her. If they were from Bavel, they were Babylonians, they said, ah, oh, Esther is a Babylonian. If they were from Elam, they would say, oh, she's from Elam. If they were from Greece, they would say she's Greek. If they were from, you know, the Midwest, they say, oh, she has the Midwest look. Right? What's the pshat in that Gemara? What does that mean?
She connects with everybody.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. She has this quality that everybody says, oh, she's like us. Where does that come from? That comes from Vati Esther no say schein. People just feel, is there a rational, can you explain that to someone? How could it be that Esther appealed to everybody? Is there a like a specific profile of a person? No. So what is it? It's this intangible quality of people just feeling like, yeah, just because we belong together, we just feel an affinity to that person. Why should somebody, vo'eschanan, do Moshe Rabbeinu a favor? Just because Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, look, come on, please do it for me. Someone comes to the president of the state and says, could you pardon me? And the president says, why? You don't have any reason? He says, well, just because we have this affinity.
We've been hanging out.
We've been together. That's right. We go back a long time. So everybody looked at Esther, and Esther had this quality of chen. Everybody's like, oh, she must be from us because we feel like we belong together. Why do people from Chicago love Chicago? Because they feel that this is where they belong. They just feel a connection. Right? Why do people from Milwaukee love Milwaukee? Because they feel that's their place. There is an amazing comment from the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sotan, Mem Zion, we're not going to get into the whole beginning, which is the story of Elisha. And Elisha, you know, did many miracles as a great prophet, one of the greatest, most influential prophets of all time. So there was a group of people, they were living in a city, and they had a problem because their water was bad. So they did a miracle to heal the water. Well, in the context of that story that Gemara describes, Vayomru Anshei Ha'ir Elisha, Hine No Moshev Ha'ir Tov Kasher Adoni Ro'eh. The city is good, except the fact that we're all drinking poisonous water. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The water is poisonous. Ve'eretz mishakelas, and the land is miserable. It's barren. So it's a good city? How can you have a good city that has polluted water, destroyed real estate, is horrible? Oh, but it's a good city. What does that mean, it's a good city? Elama tovasa amar Rabbi Chanin. He says an amazing line. Chein makom al yoshvav. Chein makom al yoshvav. The grace, the chein of a place is on its resonance. Right. And isn't that the truth? You can have somebody who lives, and I don't want to say the name of the city or the neighborhood, because God forbid you shouldn't put it down. You can live in a place that is literally Mayim Roim and Eretz Mishakelis. And you talk to that person, and they're proud. They love the neighborhood that they live in. They love the neighborhood that they grew up in. And if you insult their neighborhood, Ochenvei, as the Reverend says, it's horrible. I don't want to say. So what is the Gemara saying? What does it mean, Chein Makom Al Yoshvav? It means, even though on the books, rationally, the Mayim is Roim and the Eretz is Mishakelis, it's not a good place to live. But it doesn't matter, because Chein is not about what is Magia. It's about just because you belong. You have fans, now it's different because the Cubs are a good baseball team. You had fans who were Chicago Cubs fans. Before we moved to Chicago, I think the Cubs were very, you know, very bad for a very long time. And they had an incredibly devoted fan base. Why? It makes no sense. They should have all given up from the Cubs and gone to root for somebody else. I don't want to say, well, I don't know about the White Sox, but I'm not going to wade into local politics. But so why is it? Because that's their team, that's their neighborhood, that's where they grew up with, so they're going to be Cubs fans, even if the Cubs are terrible.
Makes them feel good.
Right! Where does that come from? It's irrational! The answer is, it's chein. It's an intangible quality that people feel that they belong. So they go to Wrigley Field, where they went as little kids with their parents or grandparents. They go to that stadium, and they reminisce, they remember, and they, you know, they talk about how bad they were or how good they were, whatever. We all know this intuitively. This is chein. Chein is a quality that exists just because. It's not due to any specific logical factors. It's just an affinity. It's just a feeling, a connection. Yes, what were we going to say?
No, I was going to say the concept of a lanceman.
Yes!
That's
exactly that. Especially, you know, I'm not from the older generation, but certainly the concept of a lanceman, especially among European Jews.
Oh, it was amazing.
And the question is why? They lived in two different streets. They never met each other. They never saw each other. So why is it that they feel this bond just because they came from the same shtetl? The answer is, Chein Makom Al Yoshvav. That's what the Gemara is saying. And you know what the Gemara does now? The Gemara takes it even further. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, and it's so beautiful. Shlosha Chinos Chein. There are actually three Cheins. Chein Makom Al Yoshvav. Chein Isha Al Baila. The Chein of a woman on her husband. And Chein Mekach Al Mikcho. The chain of a purchase on the purchaser. You buy a new car. You buy a new house. You buy a new briefcase. You have this affinity for your briefcase. I sit down at the table and the next person, you know, my briefcase has a little clasp on it. And this clasp, it broke. So you should say,
broken.
What? It is broken. It broke, right.
Broken.
You should say, why do I keep this? Why do I hold the class that I'm going to fix it?
Memories.
Just, oh, it's chen mekach al mikro. It's, my wife bought me this briefcase for my birthday. And even if not, if you go, and especially if you go, you know, you're looking for a specific item and you take time and you price it out and you examine and you compare, especially people do this a lot. I'm not from the car Mavina, but people are very into cars. Like they do this when they buy their car. You could tell them from today till tomorrow that they could have gotten something better somewhere else. They're not listening. Objectively, it would have been better for the other car. It doesn't matter. Because there's that chain. There's that attachment. And that's true, of course, chain isha al baila. Right? A husband and a wife. In a healthy, positive marriage. In a healthy relationship. You know, you have couples that are married, Baruch Hashem, many, many decades, right? The husband looks over at the wife and he thinks she's still very beautiful. Now, maybe to an onlooker, they wouldn't see that same beauty.
71 years.
Halavai, we should all be zocha to that in good health.
Amen.
How many
is this? 71?
Yeah.
How many? 71?
Yeah.
Yep. He got me by a few.
So somebody comes along.
What was the first one, Rabbi?
It's the chain of a people and their place.
59.
Amazing. This is amazing. Beautiful. So somebody would come to someone who's been married for 50 years and see the wife in the elevator. Would they see the same beauty in that woman that the husband who's married to her for 50 years sees when he gets into the elevator? No, because there's a chain. Chain isha al baila. It's not a din, it's chain. It's above and beyond. It's just because. So now we can appreciate the Sfas Emes. The Hilchos Sfas Emes says, look at this medrash. A magnificent medrash in this week's parasha and parashas Kisetze. You were wondering when this was going to get to Kisetze. Yes.
I'm still concerned about Esther is green.
Yeah.
In the Gemara.
Yeah.
The reference is not to her actually being green.
It is.
Or
it is. Yes, it is.
That she is green.
It is that she's green.
And so what emanates from her, is the chain that has nothing to do with the fact that she is physically discolored.
Yes.
And that's why people take to her.
That's right. Despite the fact that she had this discoloration.
Okay, I haven't gotten to that lot yet in
Megillah. Okay, good.
That's what I'm learning right now.
Good.
Okay.
But you hear how this all fits together now with the story of Chain? Okay. And that Chanina and Chain and Chanun are all the same concept, which is that it's something intangible that has to do with an affinity and a belonging beyond a rational, well, it's not irrational, but it is beyond what is legally or expected from a, you know, an external objective standard.
Well, it would be rational. It would be, it's beyond irrational.
Right. It's not irrational, but it's different than rational.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's beyond what is objective truth. It is something that transcends that. You know,
Giuliani's truth is not.
Oh, truth. No, I'm sorry I even stepped into that. No, Emes is Emes. Watch out. Emes is Emes. Okay. Let us not be confused. It is, the truth is that she is not objectively, according to, you know, the magazine standards of beauty, she's not beautiful. But there is a different quality, the quality of chein, that transcends that. It's true, and we're going to call it like it is. That's why this Gemara doesn't say, oh, the only thing, right, the only thing that matters is the chain. The Gemara calls it like it sees it. She's Yirak Rakas, but it's the chain that transcends that.
Got it.
So now, says the Gemara, this says a Medrash, Sfas Emes, he says, look in this Medrash in source number 9. Pasuk and Mishlei, Ki Livyas Chain Heim L'Roshecha. They are a livyas chain. It literally means a necklace for your head. But the word is a very specific word. They are a livyas chain, a chain of chain. What is a chain of chain? Go to the third line. Mao ki livyas chain. What is a livyas chain? Omer Rabbi Pinchas Bar Chama. L'kol makom shetelech hamitzvos malavos oscha. The word livya, like a chain, comes from the word lelavos, to accompany. Wherever you go, mitzvos accompany you, says the pasuk. You build a house. What happens when you build a house? When you have a porch, what mitzvah do you have?
The fence.
That's right. We call that a ma'akeh, a fence. Beautiful. You have a door. You put a doorway. What do you have?
Mezuzah.
You have clothing. You have a four-cornered garment. If you're a man, what do you have?
Tzitzis.
You go out to work in the field. You have mitzvahs regarding tithes and not planting, you know, mixed kilayim. All these ways, says the Medrash, even as you walk on the street, the mitzvos, second to last line, ha-mitzvos malavos oscha, the mitzvos accompany you, minayin shenemar ki yikare kan tzipar lefanecha. In this week's parasha, we have the mitzvah of shiluach hakein, sending away the mother bird. When does that happen? Can you orchestrate shiluach hakein? No, it's ki yikare. Just happens along the way. You just walk along the way and you see that mother bird. This happened to me once. We were in North Miami Beach visiting my in-laws, and we were going to the canal, and just on the side there we saw a duck with little ducklings. So we did the mitzvah of shiluach hakein right there on the side of the canal. It just happens. So wherever you go, there are mitzvahs all around you. That's the levaya. That's the livyas chein. Says the Sfas Emes, why are mitzvahs referred to as chein? Says the Sfas Emes, and the bottom, see, Tuf Reish Lamed Gimel, says the Halakha Sfas Emes, go down, you see source 10? Kimashe mitzvos shebnei Yisrael osin, Mikuvbolim lefonav yizbarach. When we do mitzvos, they are received before Hashem, who mitzad kichein mekach al mikcho. Says the Sfas Emes, it's the same way when you buy a car, you feel that affinity to that car. When a Jewish person does a mitzvah, there is an instant affinity and a belonging and a connection that is built between Hashem and that person. Isn't that beautiful? Think about how we feel about our place, our makom, or our isha, or our baal, or our mekach. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels about us. And how do we create that? By doing mitzvos. Mitzvos bring many things. Of course, they bring us closer to Hashem. They give us schar. They connect us to God. So many, so many things. But when I saw this Sfas Emes this week, it totally transformed my perspective on mitzvos. It's irrespective of the merit that you get from a mitzvah. What does a mitzvah do? It just kind of puts up that little reminder, that little feeling that there is this sense of belonging between us and Hashem. He says it's the same thing like mekach. It's misorer hachein shel hamaisa aydei mitzvah. When we do a maisa mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, he looks down at us and says, ah. Remember the old days in the Southwest Side. He just, kiviyachol, Hashem feels good and he feels close to us. And that's why mitzvos are a livyas chein. They're that little tap from that old friend. You know that old friend you haven't heard from in a long time, and when you see their name pop up on the phone with a text, you're like, ah, we had such good times. I'm so happy to hear from them. When we do a mitzvah, says the Halakha Sfas Emes, it's like sending that little text message to the old friend. And the old friend is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and God opens his cell phone, kiviyachol. He opens the cell phone, he sees a text, and he's like, ah, I love that guy.
There you go.
That's exactly the point. And the chiddush of this Svasemes is that it's not just Noach. It's each one of us. Mm-hmm. When we do a mitzvah, we add that chain. God forbid, when we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't deserve a good judgment. We did a lot of other things, but we have chain. And you know what happens when you have chain? Even something that objectively is not coming to you, you may get it because you have chayin. We come to the Rebbe Shlomo and we say, Kel Rachum V'chanun.
You do it from your heart.
Do it from your heart, not because objectively we deserve it. It says, give it to us. Yes.
It says, Es-el-akim,
es-el-akim. Yes.
I mean, there's a reason for it.
Yes. And that's what the Svasemis is saying. When we do mitzvos, we build that chayin. We're not strangers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have that connection to Him. And our hope is that the more mitzvahs that we do and the more reminders, kiviyachol, we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu about us belonging to Him, Anu Amecha, then when it comes, please God, in a couple of weeks, the Yom HaDin, then it's going to be V'chanosi Es Asher Achon. God is going to grant us chayin. And even though we're not perfect and we've got a lot of issues and we've got things that we're going to fix, but at the end, but it's the V'chanosi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us chayin. And this is what Mrs. Taxon was saying before, even though we don't deserve it. Halavai, we should be like Esther. We might be green. We might not be perfect. But says the Svasemis, the mitzvahs that we do with the 248 limbs, and you could see it later on if you want to go into it in more depth, 248 limbs connected to 248 mitzvos, right? These are all the mitzvos are ways to create chayin, to create that feeling, Eitz LaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyochol, with God, that somehow we just have this intangible connection. And because of that, He should do us a favor, pardon us this year, and we should be zoche to a shnas chayim v'sholem, a good year.
Amen. Amen.